Our scripture reading this morning is from James 1:19 through 25. I'm reading from the New King James Version. So then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Well, it was over 13 years ago that I made a drive from Mount Vernon, Missouri to meet with the elders here at the church building on a Monday night, an interview for the position here. I remember that very distinctly, and one of the things very early on, even in one of the first interviews that they talked about, was the fact that they wanted to see a growth in the commitment and in the involvement in our Sunday morning Bible classes. It's such a vital part of the life and the strength of God's church for us to meet together and to study His Word together. And that continues to be an area where we want, as a congregation, we want to grow. And as you think about that, I want you to think about, if you have your Bible with you this morning, that you hold in your hand the instruction book that comes from God. This is God's instruction for how you can live a full and abundant life in Christ. And somebody this morning might be thinking, you know, what's the big deal? Get up an hour earlier, because most of you tend to be here at 10 o'clock. You know, get up an hour earlier, be here 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Is it going to make any measurable difference in my life? Is it really worth that extra hour every week to be in a Bible class, 9 o'clock Sunday morning, studying from God's Word? As you think about that question, we're going to look at some of the powerful metaphors in God's Word that tell us what God's Word is like. A lot of these are going to be familiar to you this morning, but I want you to be thinking about how powerful God is and how He works powerfully through His Word. Number one, the Word of God is like a sword. Some of you know right away that I'm going to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Listen, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. If you're taking notes this morning, the Word of God is a sword, and it's called a sword because it pierces. Listen, it pierces the heart, and it pierces the mind, and it pierces the soul. You remember the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and Peter is preaching the gospel, and the people they're pricked in their hearts. That's what the Word of God does. It's like a sword, and I think it works with equal effectiveness on believers and unbelievers. It doesn't matter who you are. When you hear God's Word preached, it has this piercing, cutting ability to it. It's like a sword. The Word of God is not only a sword, the Word of God is like a mirror. And Tommy just read a portion of this for us a moment ago, but how many times, think about this, as a child of God, how many times have you been reading the Bible and you see yourself? You read it and you say, I've done that. I've been that way. I've had that attitude. I've been guilty of behaving the way I see here in the Scripture. I mentioned, you know, Tommy just read this, James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and he immediately forgets what he looks like. The Bible is like that. It's like looking in a mirror. When you look into it, what do you see? You see a reflection of yourself, either a reflection of yourself as you are or a reflection of yourself as God wants you to be. You look there and you see that things, what do you do in the morning? Some of you comb your hair, I know, and not all of us have that problem or that luxury. But how many of you this morning when you got ready to come to church, you look in the mirror and if something's out of place, you fix it, you address that. You put things back in order. We look into the mirror of God's Word, and sometimes what we find there is a reflection of ourselves, and not as we should be, not as we are, but as we should be, as we could be. And we make the necessary adjustments. The Word of God is like a sword. It's like a mirror. This is interesting. The Word of God is like a hammer. And I think about this. How many times have you been sitting where you're sitting this morning, and it's not necessarily even the preaching. It's just a scripture that we read together, and you get, I mean, just out of the blue, you get hammered by the Word of God. Or you're sitting in your living room, you've got a cup of coffee, you're just reading the Bible to yourself. Maybe you feel a little bit complacent. Maybe you feel smug and satisfied with where you're at in your relationship with God, but something that you're reading just comes right off the page, and I mean, it hits you right between the eyes. You get hammered by the Word of God because it's God speaking to us through this inspired Word. I think that happens sometimes right here in church. I can literally sometimes see people making a face, kind of cringing as they hear God's Word. Why? Because we know as we read God's Word, this is what I ought to be. It's not what I am, but it's what I ought to be. And I'm not altogether where God wants me to be. And so Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23 and verse 9 that the Word of God, look at that last part, it's like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. And sometimes God's Word works that way in our lives. The Word of God is like a seed. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, we'll talk about that kind of the application. You've got a sower that went out to sow the seed, and it falls on all these different kinds of soil. Well, the seed in that story, Jesus said, is the Word of God. And Peter, in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, says it's not a corruptible seed, but he's talking about the incorruptible Word of God. And I want to tell you this morning, when that seed is planted in your hearts and within our lives, it's going to bring forth whatever's planted. We sometimes say the Bible only makes Christians only and the only Christians. Listen, if you put nothing but the Bible in someone's heart, you plant nothing but that seed, it's only going to produce one thing. Not some kind of a Christian, but just a Christian. And so it brings forth life, it brings forth growth, it brings forth fruit in our lives. And when you put God's Word in your mind and you put it in your heart, that seed won't stay dormant. The Word of God in the heart and in the mind is going to grow. It's going to spread. It's going to change your life. The Word of God is like silver. It's like silver. In Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6, the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. Why in the world would God call His Word silver? Well, because it's precious, it's desirable, it's beautiful, it's valuable. The Word of God is like fire. You don't expect to hear some of these things as we're talking about the Word of God, but the Bible is like a burning fire. And listen, what the Word of God will do, if you interact with it regularly, it will burn the junk. It will burn the dross out of your life. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 says, "But His Word, He said, was a fire in my heart. It was like a burning fire." That's what the Bible is like. It purifies. It has a consuming capacity. Again, it'll burn the dross out of your life. It'll burn everything out of your life except that which is good. It will leave behind. It purifies. Sometimes like gold or like silver. How is it refined? By going through fire. And finally, and I know that this is one we were just singing it this morning. And by the way, I really appreciate the thought and the effort that Scott put into selecting the songs this morning, you'll notice everything that we were singing about this morning and how closely all of that comes together with our lesson. Your word, Psalm 119, verse 105, is a lamp. He says, it's a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The Word of God is called a lamp, and it shines its light, listen, upon where you are now, upon where you have been, upon where you're going. It keeps you from stumbling. It shows you the way. Listen, and some of you getting excited on the outline, it says conclusion. Now listen, we've got four more points here. Relax. I was trying to find a way to outline it. That's the best I could do. Hey, listen, now, some of you, let's be honest. Well, maybe the Word of God has not played as prominent a role in my life as it should. But here's the point this morning. We don't want people going home this morning and feeling guilty, beating yourself up. You say, I know the Word of God does all of these things. I mean, it cuts like a sword. It reflects like a mirror. I mean, it strikes like a hammer. It reproduces like a seed. It's precious, it's valuable like silver. It shows the way and guides the way like a lamp. It does all these wonderful things, and I just haven't read it. I just haven't studied it. Listen, folks, here's what I want you to think about as we move on this morning. I want you to stop thinking about what you could have done and having all this regret. I want you to think about what you can do differently in the future. You know, we had a goal this morning. We want to have a certain number of people in Bible class. And the reason for that wasn't just to have that number of people here this morning. Our hope is that you will make a change in your life to include an emphasis, a place of prominence, a place of honor for the Word of God. You say, Tim, why should we make that change? And we're going to talk about four reasons this morning. Number one, because the Word of God, if you study it, if you read it and if you study it, it will produce spiritual growth in your life. Listen, I don't want to be the same person I am right now. This time next year, I want to grow. Between now and then, I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I want to be more mature in not just understanding my faith and practicing my faith, but being able to share that with others. There was a guy that said he would keep a journal, and what he said is that he would look at this year's page and he would compare it with that same day a year ago, and he said, listen, if you can't discern along the way that you're making some progress in your life as a child of God, he said, it can become very discouraging. And that is discouraging to think we're not making any progress. We're not moving forward in any way as children of God. Well, how can you grow in your spiritual life? And I'll just tell you, there's only one agent that I know of for spiritual growth that's guaranteed to make that happen. And so I want you to listen to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Listen to what Peter says here. He said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now, how are you going to grow up in your spiritual life? You can't do that without the Word of God. One of my favorite passages is in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Would you look closely? In your Bible, look at what that passage says. It says that Scripture is profitable, or it is useful for teaching. If you study the Bible, you're going to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing with your life. The Bible will teach you. And it says that it's profitable for rebuking. So if you're not doing everything that you're supposed to be doing with your life, the Bible will let you know about that. The Bible says that it's profitable for correction. So if you're doing some things you're not supposed to be doing, you're always going to know how to fix it. You're going to know how to get back to where God wants you to be. And if It says it's profitable for training in righteousness so that when you get back on the path of righteousness, listen, you have a positive plan to keep you on that path so that you're not going to get off that path again in the future. That's how you grow. That's one of the things that God has given us. He's given us His Word so that we can be thoroughly equipped unto every good work and we can grow. The Word of God, number two, will keep you from sin. And I think this is such an important idea. And we talk about spiritual growth. One of the areas of spiritual growth is we have to grow in this area of personal holiness and in righteousness. I mean, in 1 John chapter 1, in the early verses there, about 7 through 10, I understand that it says there, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. That we make God out to be a liar. And I'm not saying that we're ever going to get to a point where we never sin anymore. But I will tell you this. The more you read God's Word, the less you're going to sin in your life. In Psalm chapter 119 and verse 11, David says, I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. In Psalm 119 and verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Psalm 37 and verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart, and his feet do not slip. Now, how is God's word going to keep me from sinning? If you commit yourself to spending time in the Bible, it's going to rearrange some things in your life. That's how it's going to happen. It's going to change some of the priorities, some of the commitments, and some of the convictions in your life. One man reading the Bible said it makes you downright uncomfortable about some things in your life. And listen, that's what God's Word is supposed to do. When we're doing things that are wrong and we read in God's Word that those things are wrong, that either they will keep us out of heaven or the alternative, they'll cause us to go to hell, that ought to make a person uncomfortable. And the Word of God does have that influence, that impact in our lives. There was a lady, her son was going to college, and she had given him a new Bible, and she wrote right on the inside cover, she said, nothing but sin will keep you from this book, and nothing but this book will keep you from sin. I think that's true. I think the more we get into this book, the Word that God has given us, the less prone we are to let sin be a major part in our lives. It changes our priorities. It keeps us aware of God's will and who God wants us to be and what God wants us to do and the way He wants us to treat other people. Number three, the Word of God will promote success in everything you do. And I know when you hear that probably doesn't necessarily sound like something that's in the Bible. It sounds like one of these power of positive thinking type books or seminars. But I want you to listen. I'm not making this up. This isn't something that I said. It comes right from the first chapter in the book of Psalms. Would you open your Bibles to that? Just turn over to Psalm chapter 1. This is a great passage of Scripture. Really, for our subject this morning, I can't think of another passage for us to read together. So just open your Bible there. Psalm chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay, it's also projected if you don't have a Bible with you, but listen to this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And I was really helped. Actually, I was over at Deer Creek one Sunday visiting, and their preacher over there was working through the book of Psalms in his Bible class. And I thought it was interesting how he shows a progression that you're kind of moving along here. First, you stand, or you walk, and then you stand, and then you sit, and you're getting closer and closer and closer to sin. And we want to go the opposite direction, okay? And so he says, but rather than that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Would you look at the last four words here? Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. Again, I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. And some of you might say, wait a minute. I know people who read the Word of God every day, and it doesn't look to me like they're prospering. Well, do you remember the passage that was read a moment ago, James chapter 1 and verse 22? And it says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You have to do what it says. And a person who approaches the Bible with that mindset is going to prosper. Now listen, when we talk about prospering, when we talk about success, it's in the context of how God views it. I'm not telling you this morning that you're going to be rich and that you're going to be successful in the sense of being popular or being famous or having a lot of worldly wealth. What I'm telling you this morning is that you're going to be a success in all the ways that matter to God. If you are a person who spends a good amount of time in the Word of God, you're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better father. You're going to be a better wife. You're going to be a better mother. You're going to be better as young Christians as you go to school. The light of Jesus Christ, listen, is going to shine out in your life. You're going to be a positive reflection to all your friends. It's going to be easier, I believe, for you to withstand peer pressure in your life if your life and the steps that you take are being directed by God and by His Word. I think about the Christian businessman who spends time in the Word of God is going to make better decisions. He's going to live a life of integrity. He's not going to sacrifice that integrity or his faith for any amount of material success. But you got to have the Word in your life if you want to be successful. God gives Joshua a job, an assignment. It's an amazing, kind of intimidating assignment. He's going to take these Jewish people who are murmuring and complaining, and they don't even want to go to the promised land, but his job is to take them into the promised land, and God tells him that he can do it. And he tells him in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You'll be prosperous. You'll be successful. God gives him a job. He says, you can do the job. How are you going to do the job? You got to spend time meditating. Look, day and night. Don't turn away to the right. Don't turn away to the left. Just keep focused on this Word, and you're going to be prosperous. You're going to be successful. And I think the Word of the Lord to Joshua is the Word of the Lord to every single believing person here this morning. If you learn this Word, if you practice what's in it, if you teach it to others, you're going to live a good life. You're going to live a life that will please God. And by His standard of the definition, you're going to be a success. And finally, the Word of God will prepare you for salvation. Again, the scripture reading this morning, James chapter 1, talked about how the Word is able to save your soul. I mean, it's able to save your soul. But I like the way Paul says it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But as for you, he said, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. A lot of you know that the gospel accounts all focus on Jesus. John in particular has been called the gospel of belief, because over and over again, Jesus talks about the importance of belief. You would know John 3:16, that, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But John 5:24, John 8:24, just throughout, you've got this emphasis on belief. John 20, verse 31 says this. These are written. Now clearly, this is in reference to the Gospel of John, but so much of God, it applies to so much of the rest of the Word of God. These are written that you may believe, listen, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing, you may have life in His name. Parents, how are you going to get your children to know Jesus? How are you going to get them to make a commitment, not a commitment to believe because you believe, or to believe what you believe because you believe it. But how are we going to get them to know for themselves that Jesus really is the Son of God and make their own commitment to Him? It's not going to happen apart from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at some of the things we've said today. It produces growth. It prevents sin. It promotes success. It prepares for salvation. So if you bring up that last slide for me, please. Listen, it's why it's so important right there. Yeah, we want to have a good life here and now. And the Word of God will equip you for success, but it makes you wise for salvation. It tells us who Jesus is, that He's the Son of God. It tells us what Jesus did, that He died for our sins. But folks, it doesn't then all of a sudden just leave us in the dark when it comes to how do we respond to that. I mean, we have passages like Mark 16:16 that talk about belief in baptism. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. We have passages like Acts 2:38 that explains how people are to repent and be baptized. We're doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're doing it for the remission of our sins, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It tells us, God's Word tells us about the importance of confessing that Jesus, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9-10, that Jesus is the Son of God, and you'll be saved. And so we're not left to guess about that. Listen, this morning we want you to make a commitment. That's why we had a special day and made a drive for attendance. We want you to make a greater commitment to study God's Word on your own and to be a part of our corporate opportunities. When we meet together Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on Wednesday nights, our early bird and the regularly scheduled time, you know, we want you to be here. We want you to make that commitment. But listen, we're also studying today so that some of you will make a commitment to Jesus Christ, that you'll follow where His Word is leading you, that ultimate destination of entering into a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, by making the confession, by repenting of your sins, by being immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins. And if anybody here this morning wants to do that, I hope you'll do it right now as we stand and sing.